Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today? Humanity's unique role in the plan. Before we get started, I just want to say that later on we're going to have a special offer for you, and we'll talk more about that later. But I'd also like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. It is humanity which determines its own fate. Human beings have transcended the child stage and are now adult, though not mature. Maturity is achieved through experience and decision. The human being is free to choose the way that he or she shall go. Do you think that most people really believe that they determine their own fate?
No, and I think that's why Alice Bailey said human beings are now adult but not yet mature. That kind of amuses me because there is a difference. You can be in a grown-up body but not really be mature in your thinking and reactions. And as long as we find ourselves feeling that we are victimized by life and fate, that we have bad karma that we don't feel responsible for, it's just bad things that happen to us from some distant past that we feel completely disengaged from, and as long as we blame others or hold others responsible for our well-being or our failure, we are not really viewing life as mature spiritual beings. And when we begin to take control of our lives and feel responsible for our own destiny, I think that's a really significant step forward on the spiritual path. Last time, our program discussed the spiritual hierarchy. And the whole idea of the hierarchy of the masters is not that they hold humanity's hand and tell us what to do, but that they prompt or inspire recognitions that the best minds and the most receptive minds among humanity can grasp and claim as their own and work out. And the writings of Alice Bailey say that this plan for our world, which is the conscious recognition by humanity of its responsibility to cooperate with the plan, is a really significant aspect of human evolution. Not that human beings can be guided and coerced into being good, but that we will, of our own initiative and of our own choice, recognize that the plan includes every living thing and that we must, therefore, work to establish right relationships with all living things.
And I think the fact that there is this plan in existence is something to be considered, too, because how many people in the world really think that there is some plan for not only their life, but for the life on all over the earth as it exists? And so I think once you make that realization, then that immediately puts you into a much larger frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer just this little person by yourself in your world working out and living out your own meek little life. or a self-important life, but you have a larger stake at what's going on in the whole earth. And there is an intelligence behind this that is guiding it all. And I think that has to make an impact on people's consciousness.
One of the most interesting aspects of the plan and humanity's place in it is something that we've touched on, I think, a number of times before, that humanity is the middle and therefore mediating kingdom in the great chain of being that makes up life on our planet. The higher kingdoms of the masters, the illumined great beings that have progressed beyond the human stage and who have chosen to stay with our planetary life, do so in a subjective capacity from behind the scenes, so to speak, watching radiating energy of light and love and purpose, working with human consciousness to prompt recognition of the values and ideas that should govern the working out of the plan. But humanity's role is to act as a receiver, so to speak, a receiver of these impressions from the hierarchy and to implement them through our ability to guide and stimulate the evolution of the lower kingdoms, lower than human, meaning the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms. So the writings of Alice Bailey say that the major function of humanity in the plan is intelligent creation.
And we have to realize that we're not the ultimate kingdom. We're not the top of the heap, in other words. There are two or three other kingdoms above the human kingdom. There are probably seven altogether or more. And humanity kind of stands in the middle.
Yeah, as the fourth kingdom.
As the fourth kingdom. And it serves that which is below and is guided by that which is above, and it's inspired from above by these members of the hierarchy. And we're all working at this greater plan of God. It's not our plan, of course. It's not the hierarchy's plan. It's the plan of God. He has some purpose in mind that is working out all through this planet. And for every kingdom in nature, there is an aspect of the plan that is working out. And the human kingdom is kind of the mediating kingdom that around which it all works.
The problem for humanity is to learn to respond to impression and then to act appropriately in response to that impression. And maybe we should say a bit more about what we mean by impression. In the Ageless Wisdom, impression refers to the subtlest response to radiation that one experiences coming from some other mind or minds. In other words, the spiritual hierarchy, working with the level of consciousness, reaches us, human beings, on the level of the mind through conscious receptivity and recognition of certain divine ideas, which include love of one's neighbor, sharing, right human relations, justice, even concepts more grounded in earth life, like human rights and freedom, are deeply spiritual and divine ideas that humanity has registered and worked out, is still working out over many, many centuries. But if we were to look back, say, 1,000 years ago, I don't think the concept of human rights was more than a dim glimmer in a few minds. And now it's an urge, a demand that's felt all over the world. That's an example of how humanity is awakening to the idea that every individual, by the fact of his or her existence, is endowed with a certain, well, as Jefferson and the Declaration said, inalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he said. Other societies and cultures might give it different terms, but this is an example of our responsiveness to impression. The problem is that there are so many impressions reaching humanity that it's very difficult for us to discern the higher from the lower.
Yes, and humanity is responsible for many of those ideas that are floating around. I mean, that awakening is a blessing in a way, but it's also not really a curse, but it's also a problem because humanity creates the atmosphere in which it exists, this mental atmosphere of ideas, or particularly the emotional atmosphere, the feelings and all the emotional...
The glamour, as we discussed.
...that are circulating the atmospheres of the earth. And it really does. I mean, these thought forms that humanity builds simply by the act of thinking circulate around and around the earth, and they get picked up and passed on and acted upon, and it leads to much of the chaos, but it also leads to a lot of good that's in the world.
If we think about ourselves and our individual problems, we have a choice to make in our life, a step to take, and we try to figure out what is my best choice, what does my soul want of me, what does God want of me. We can all go around in circles, wondering, trying to figure out what the best choice is. I think all of us can identify with situations like that, and you can imagine the fog that's stirred up by the difficulty just for our individual selves to make a decision clearly and in the light of our soul's intended purpose. Well, imagine all 6.5 billion of us on Earth struggling to reach a sense of our direction, and you can get an idea of how difficult it is to filter through all these recognitions and ideas.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, humanity's unique role in the plan. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the book Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. I have a special affection for that book because that's one of the books that I started off with, and I liked it a lot because all of the themes in the Alice Bailey literature, all 24 volumes, are really presented to us and set forth in Ponder on This. And they're set forth, of course, in an abridged fashion, so you get an idea as to which topics you want to prioritize. And so I would strongly recommend that you start off with that. Well, actually, I started off with the autobiography of Alice Bailey, but that's another story. At any rate, Ponder on This is available at a very good price, $16, and that's and the special offer comes in the form of free shipping with shipping and handling. So what you need to do is send us a check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, the title of the book, Ponder on This. And in order to get the free shipping and handling, you must mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight. And also, if you'd like a general package of information telling you about Lucis Trust, because the most commonly asked question is Lucis Trust a religion? No, it isn't. It's a spiritual philosophy organization, and people from all backgrounds and walks of life are interested in the books of Alice Bailey and attend our meetings. So to order books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, or the general package of information, or a schedule of our meditation meetings, please give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York, Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And if you key into that website, amongst many ideas and presentations on the website, you can also find out, you can also listen to our archive library of radio shows. We have hundreds of them by this time on multiple numbers of themes from the Alice Bailey books. Once again, the website, www.lucistrust.org. org. I was thinking also that you were mentioning that how human beings have to, humanity has to develop right relationships with all levels of life. Would that include even things that we view as inanimate objects, like the earth and
wood? Yes, the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the animal kingdom. And this, to me, is a very deep concept that I don't feel I begin to understand. But apparently, humanity's role is to make impression upon these lower kingdoms, much as the hierarchy impresses human consciousness. We know that every level of life radiates a certain level of consciousness. Even the mineral kingdom, the densest rocks, radiate a certain consciousness appropriate to their atomic composition. And humanity's role is to work with these kingdoms and enhance their evolution. And I suppose that the discovery of radium was an example of the furthering of the evolution of the mineral kingdom when that potency that exists in densest matter was discovered. Of course, humanity being what it is, it was used to become a weapon to blow to smithereens societies that we don't agree with or that we want to put in line in some way. But it's also used for healing purposes and has enormous potential for energy. That's one example of the furthering of the evolution of the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom. I think of people like George Washington Carver, who worked with the peanut and discovered all the marvelous uses of the peanut, and Luther Burbank, who discovered so many species within the vegetable kingdom that serve the animal and human kingdom. So these are a few examples. Our role essentially is to work with the material plane. The writings of Alice Bailey say that the stupendous potencies radiated toward our planet by the hierarchy can reach the level of consciousness, but in order for them to have effect on the outer planes of life, humanity's cooperation is required, because we live here on Earth, and we, therefore, must work with and redeem the material plane, the plane of matter.
And I think you look around and you can see examples of humanity's role in the plan already working out. I mean, we just don't maybe not call it that, but as you say, we have our responsibilities to the lower kingdoms, and we're already doing this in the terms of the environmental movement, for example. In the Bible it says man shall become have dominion over the lower kingdoms. That doesn't mean to dominate them so much as to be a steward of the lower kingdoms and to guide them. And we're already doing this with our emphasis on the environment and the concern for global warming. And, you know, Rachel Carson was one of the early pioneers in bringing this the problems that we had created in the environment. And now there's a large movement all over the world, especially through the agencies of the UN, to clean up the environment and keep it healthy. And then in the animal kingdom, we have great service that have come forth, like Jane Goodall, you know, in her work with the chimpanzees, and Diane Fossey with the gorillas. And so there are outstanding initiates, if you want to call them that, that do come forth and are working out this plan, even though we may not call it that.
Yes, I think we tend to look for such stupendous individualities to show that an example of cooperation with the plan that we may miss the actual mark. If we think that humanity's role is to cooperate with the plan, then that means all of us. It doesn't mean a few great, incredibly evolved, magnificent initiates. There are those. But it also means all of us. examples like you just mentioned of Jane Goodall, Diane Fossey. Another one who comes to mind just won the Nobel Peace Prize, Wangari Maathai, from Kenya, who has worked for decades with environmental concerns. She was concerned about the deforestation in Kenya that was causing such hardship for women who have to find enough firewood for the cooking of the family's meals and enough water. And so she became involved. She's an example of, in one sense, a perfectly ordinary, normal person, but in another sense, a magnificent life in the impact that she has made on human consciousness. She's well known in the environmental field, and we could sit here and name names till we're blue in the face. There is already great success and great achievement going on.
So, yes, you don't have to be a big famous person mm-hmm. to get involved in this, because just it has to do really with consciousness. And everybody is involved with that, because you have your own consciousness you can affect, and your own quality of life, and your own link with your own higher self, your own soul. And if you do nothing more than that in your life to strengthen that link with the soul, you are doing a lot.
And if you at the same time see that link with the soul as your link to the whole, of the world, that will open up for you a better sense of what your part is in this great plan. Everyone has a part to play. It's probably very small, but it all is incrementally significant. And as we learn to focus our consciousness more and more in the whole, we can grasp what our part might be, and it will be in appropriate proportion to our abilities and our circumstances.
And it is said that the the great invocation that Sarah sounds at the end of every show is the blueprint of the plan. And that is essentially the evoking of the energies of light and the energies of love and the energies of the will to good. And those are embodied in the words of the great invocation. And if you can find the time to sit down and quietly and link up with the soul and sound out that great invocation as many times a day as you can, you will be doing a great service in doing your part in the plan.
And I think you'll find that your consciousness is gradually transformed by working with the great invocation. Apparently, the great limitation posed by humanity to the working out of the plan is something that I think we can all recognize: selfishness. I would have thought maybe it was stupidity or density or something like that. No, it's selfishness. People care too much about themselves and their own little circle, and not enough, if at all, about the larger context. If we can't identify with the whole, maybe we can identify with a group. Extend our consciousness just that much further. If we identify with our nation, maybe we can then extend that to identifying with all nations. Work at it incrementally, but breaking out of that shell of selfishness is a major problem for humanity to fulfill its role in the plan.
It's inevitable that this selfishness does arise and become the kind of impetus for human actions in the world today, because it's a stage that everyone has to go through, and so we don't it's hard to avoid, because we're stuck in this stage where we are, and we're evolving all the time. So these examples that we've been giving today are kind of examples of how this whole thing is evolving and taking place before our very eyes, and we're part of it.
There's a comment made by Alice Bailey that I think is interesting. She said that in this working out of the plan, curiously enough, it's often hindered by the idealists among us, the people who love their ideals more than they love humanity. She said they do nothing to bring the conflict to an end because they're preoccupied with their own dreams and ideals and visions, and that when they let these go, because they simply love humanity, that then the new vision will come. And that's interesting to contemplate on, because I think this particular nation is so idealistic, and that's good, but those very ideals can become constricting when they keep us from simply loving our fellow men more.
And ideals are always evolving, too. I mean, we have very limited ideals at first, and then they become more and more awakened and more universal in nature, and then we begin to follow a new set of ideals, and this is good. This is the way it's meant to be, and gradually human consciousness expands and becomes more universal. It leaves behind that selfish, self-centered position and grasps a more universal position.
I think what we're seeing today, the revelation of so much corruption and so many problems that we hadn't been aware of before, as discouraging as it can be, I think it's a necessary process that's bringing to light where we stand. And in the venting or airing of these problems, we are undergoing a kind of an awakening, and we should be grateful for it and welcome the revelation that's coming now. It's like the psychological cleansing of the subconscious. And in spite of what we see, I think we should never lose faith and belief in humanity as a whole. We have come such a long way as a species, and I think there is every reason to believe that we are capable of overcoming the problems we have created and playing our part in the service of the lower kingdoms with more and more understanding. We have to have faith in our potential to grow.
Please take advantage of this special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that is the Alice Bailey book Ponder on This, which is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. Available now for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so send a check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And free shipping and handling only if you mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. If you'd like our general package of information, you can call up and order that. It tells you a lot about Lucis Trust. It's 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.